Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Bibles up to Exodus chapter 29. Yeah. Have you ever heard people say, well, that's just a coincidence? You know, God doesn't do anything by coincidence. He does things on purpose for a reason. And we're living in a time right now where we're seeing a lot of things that are very peculiar. By now, I'm sure most of you have seen some kind of a video of the assassination attempt on Trump. There's some peculiar things that I'm going to point out to you about this. Exodus 29, verse 20. God was dealing with his leadership and his nation. And he said, "Then thou shalt kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his son, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar." And he was talking about a consecration sacrifice. How many of you believe that maybe our president has been consecrated for such a time as this? You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, it tells us to take on the whole armor of God. Trump was shot at exactly 6:11. There's just too many things to call this just a coincidence. Especially in the time of day and hour that we're in and the things that are happening. I want you to look over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 9, and this is Jesus talking. He said, "I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, and thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." Now, people have a habit of calling everybody in Israel Jews. Not everybody in Israel are true Jews. There is a synagogue of Satan in Israel. There are Jews there. There are people there that are not Jews. I always wondered, and I studied this and studied this and studied this. I always wondered about that stupid Star of David. You see Christians wearing it all the time. David didn't have a star. Solomon picked up that star when he got into witchcraft, and he got in big trouble for it. But there's a sacred symbol for God. It would be the menorah, the seven candlesticks. And I always wondered why they didn't put that on their flag. And then I studied more, and I studied more, and I studied more, and I found out that there were some true Jews that really, really studied the Bible and really, really stayed true to their faith that didn't recognize Israel. They called that Rothschild's Israel. So then I thought, okay, there's two groups. And then I found this verse. And then I understood. So then I started studying history, and I found out that there was a group of Satan worshipers that got cornered in the big countries around them and said, you have to pick one of the three main religions. You can be Christian, you can be Muslim, or you can be Jewish. Take your pick. They said, okay, we'll be Jews. So they just called themselves Jews, but they're the synagogue of Satan. Now, you can start sorting out some of this mess in Israel. You can start understanding some of the chaos and some of the stuff that's going on. There's some people in Israel that are not Jews. And they're the same people that have been causing us all kinds of misery. They're the same people that have been causing the whole world misery. And Jesus is going to clean that mess up. It's getting cleaned up. Now, look at verse 6. And, but this thou hast, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Jesus was talking to his churches in there, and he came up with this word Nicolaitans. I wondered, what in the world is a Nicolaitan? I found the meaning. The Nicolaitans were members of Christian congregations who held a doctrine that the Lord hated. They claimed to be Christians, but strayed from the gospel's principles to worldly practices such as committing sexual sin, eating food sacrificed to idols. Some of the other teachings included perverting grace and replacing liberty with license and encouraging others to eat things offered to idols. Can we recognize any denomination in that description? There's a lot. I told a preacher the other day, I said, the whole church is coming under the blood of Christ, and it's going to go through the cleansing. There's not one single denomination that is not going to be cleansed of something. Every single denomination is going to get cleansed of something. The whole church. Now, Paul had some pretty stern things to say about this, and so did Jesus. Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, we'll look at that one first. Matthew chapter 18, verse 6 says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believeth in me, it were better for him than a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Now you look at that verse and you think he's talking about little kids, but he's talking about his believers. And he's telling that anybody that leads any one of his believers away from his teachings, it'd be better for him to have a millstone tied around his neck. Now you can understand the peril that some of these preachers are truly in when they teach it's okay to have gay weddings. It's okay to have gay relationships. It's okay to have gay pastors. See, that's not from the Bible. Now look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. And this will gather up a whole bunch of people. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Paul had some stern words there. If you don't preach the gospel, he said, let him be accursed. The gospel is Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you're ever hearing anything other than Jesus Christ and him crucified, stop. If it ever gets you into a position where you think you have to, or even possibly could, earn something from God, stop. Number one thing you need to understand about God, he'll be a debtor to no man. Number two, you need to understand he's already freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. How are you going to earn something you've already been given? Don't let grace be perverted. And don't frustrate the grace of God. The way to frustrate the grace of God is try to earn something that He's already freely given you. People do it all the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." Well, yeah, we got people doing all kinds of things trying to be the righteousness of God. And they've been taught that righteousness is right doing. Righteousness is right standing. Right? We talked about that. That's a legal word, right? Righteousness, when you've been made righteous, that means you're now in right standing. That's from a judge. Righteousness means right standing, not right doing. So you're not going to right do yourself into right standing. The only way you can get into right standing is by right believing. Mm-hmm. Believing what God did for you through Christ on that cross, in His death, burial, and His resurrection.
Amen.
Now, when you get born again, you automatically get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means you got put into right standing. That means that everything that was wrong between you and God before you got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. And now you're in right standing. See, this is so important for people to understand. In the Old Testament, they had the law. And they had to fulfill the law 100% in order for them to not only be blessed, but to not be cursed. See, and if they followed the law completely, then they could be blessed and not cursed. But since no man except Jesus has ever been able to follow the law completely, God gave us animal sacrifices. Because He knew that without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So in the Old Testament, when somebody made a mistake, they'd have to have some kind of a sacrifice so that they could get an atonement, they could get a covering. An atonement, that's what atonement means. It's a covering. But it has to be renewed. You'll always remember. And that's where a lot of things like the scapegoat came about. You've heard of the scapegoat.
Yeah.
When they had to have a sin offering, they'd take two goats to the high priest, and the high priest would take the one and sacrifice him and take the blood of that one and pour it on the head of the scapegoat. And that represented their sins. And then they'd take that scapegoat and they'd head east with him. And they'd go out into the wilderness. And that goat was never to be seen again. See, this is a type and shadow of what happens when you get born again. God takes your sins and He removes them as far from you as the east is from the west. I don't know. You know, maybe you got taught in school, but if you head north, you keep walking, pretty soon you'll get to the North Pole. The very next step you take, you're headed south. But if you take off and you head east, you can walk for the rest of your life, and you'll be heading east. That's how far God removes your sins away from you. They're gone. He puts them in the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't want you to remember them no more. He doesn't remember them no more. That's good news.
Amen.
But that's how you get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you do that, when you get born again, the minute you get born again, you're 100% qualified for all of His blessings. And because of Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, And he actually became a curse for us. He took the curse for us and he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now when you get born again, you get placed into this dispensation of grace. You get removed from the law. You're supposed to walk in liberty. So how do you not walk in liberty, and how do you not walk in grace? By picking up the law. When you start picking up the law and you start trying to fulfill the law, you start trying to hold the law, you're automatically frustrating grace. You don't want to do that. You want to walk in grace. And that's why totally relying on Jesus, looking unto Him, the author and finisher of your faith. He is 100% everything you need. And He's already given you all things. You're not going to earn anything from Him. Now, does that give you a license to sin? No. No. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace gives you the ability to overcome sin. When you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you'll rule and reign over sin. So many times, we try to do things on our own effort, trying to be good enough to qualify for what we need from God, and that won't work. When you got born again, how many of you did something good enough to qualify for His grace? None of us could do anything good enough to qualify for His salvation. The only thing we could do was call on the name of the Lord Jesus. And then guess what happened? Boom. We got brought into the family of God. And 100% qualified for all of His good things. Now, we've been through all this, and we've seen a lot of things in our world, and we're not really 100% positive how things are going to go through. We just know that we trust in Jesus, and He's going to get us to where we need to be. Amen? I want you to look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. I don't often preach from Revelation, but there's some curious things that are going on. And there's one thing in the Bible called the Jubilee. In the Old Testament, God set up a Jubilee. And it was supposed to be observed every 7 years and then every 50 years. And the Jubilee was a release of debt. The Jubilee was where people would be set free. The Jubilee was where people would have a year of rest, so they wouldn't be overworked. The land wouldn't be overused. And the people wouldn't be in a constant, never-ending debt cycle. But you know something? We never did celebrate a Jubilee. Never in my life have we ever celebrated a Jubilee. We're pretty close. We're pretty close. Chapter 20, verse 1 says, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. and after that he must be loosed and we'll see. How many of you understand how much deception we get fed? If you turn on any of the mainstream media sites, it's one deception right after another. If you look at the DOJ, and you look, they'll call these guys in there to Congress, and they'll start asking them questions. It's one deception right after another deception, right after another deception. Or they won't answer the question, they won't do this, they won't do that. We've been deceived. We've been deceived. We're all in the same storm. But Jesus said you would know the truth, and the truth would make you free. See, along with reading the Bible, you need to read history too. Even our history has been deceived. This is a... You got an assignment. I want you, every one of you, to go home and look up the Act of 1871. Just go Google it, look it up. And you'll see how far we've been deceived. 1871. Now, with that in mind, go just a little bit further here. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which have not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. A lot of talks about this millennial reign that we're supposed to be. You know, one of the questions that I had early on was who decided what book should be in the Bible? You know, there's a lot of books. There's a lot of books. And I always had this question, who decided what book should be in the Bible? And I found out it was a bunch of monks that have been translating the Bible, and these other guys. I thought, well, that doesn't make any sense for them guys to be deciding what books we should be reading. And then I found out the history of it, and I found out why. I also found out that there was a book called Jubilee in the Bible. Not in the Bible, but there's a book called Jubilee. And Abraham was, I know this is probably blasphemy to some of the hardcore church goers, but Abraham was blessing Jacob. And he talked about a time where the whole world would be so filled with sin that it'd just be completely out of control. And then all of a sudden they would all wake up and they would turn back to God. And their lives would become, their years would become as 1,000. Sounds a lot like a millennial reign. I know it's not in our King James Bible that we're supposed to only preach from, but it's history nonetheless. And I know we're coming upon a time where everything is going to change. I believe the church and this whole world is going to come through a cleansing, a major turning around, and a humongous revival and a great awakening. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 says, says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth for the first time. And the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. How many times have you heard the church being called the bride of Christ? It's rampant. We are not the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ, not the bride. We are the body of Christ. We've got to get things right. We've got to rightfully divide the word of truth. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Well, I'm going to go to 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he is going to bring us together in the unity of the faith. I wait for that day. I'll be so glad when the blood of Jesus washes away all these doctrines. And we are one body in Christ. Not all these different denominations, but one body in Christ. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. In unity. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Now, the reason it's so important to just follow the gospel and preach it the way Paul said, and it's very important. Well, we'll start. I'm going to give you two examples. We're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. It And you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Do not add to or take away from. It's very important to not add to or take away from.
This is in Revelation.
Yeah, we're going to go there in just a second. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. And Jesus had some peculiar words here too. Revelation chapter 18, or 22, verse 18. Says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He was testify these things, says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Yes.
He is very serious about not adding to or taking away from. When you look up the Act of 1871, you're going to see how they have taken away from our Bible, and how they changed the Word of God. Our number one mission is to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and put our whole trust in Him, and understand that there's not one square inch of our lives that has not been manipulated. There's not one square inch of our lives where we have not been deceived in anything. But Jesus is true. When we cast our cares upon Him and look unto Him, He is our good shepherd. And He will lead us through. But just know this, that there are some things that you have been taught as the truth that are not the truth at all. This whole world is going to be washed in the blood of Jesus. And we're going to see things that we never knew. And we're going to know things that we never knew. And I believe we're going to be in a time of Jubilee. Maybe just a few more months. But here's the thing. We have a church that is so rapture-minded that that's all they can think about is getting out of here. You know what God's thinking about? How many more people we can get born again? And we got a group of people that want out of here, and we got a whole bunch of people here that can't get out of here without us telling them about Jesus. We need to just keep our feet planted on this earth and focus on the gospel of Jesus and doing what Jesus said. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Tell everybody out there about Jesus. The gospel. Not our doctrine, the gospel. We need to let people know that God loves them. We need to let people know that all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. You know, there's some people that think they're unsavable. But all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. He gave us that ministry of reconciliation. See, somebody that had the ministry of reconciliation came and got us reconciled with God. And then he gave us that ministry, and in fact he called us ambassadors for Christ. That's a big name. That's a big word. Ambassadors. You know, the president has ambassadors that go to other countries and they speak for the president. God has made you an ambassador. Jesus made you an ambassador. And you're supposed to go speak in the name of Jesus and tell people how much God loves them. In case you haven't noticed, there's a lot of confusion in this world right now. And if people don't have their lives built on that rock, they're getting a little shaky right now. And there's a lot of Christians that are getting kind of shaky. But what we need to do is go pull people up on the boat. We're all in the same storm, we just don't have the same boat. Some of us are up on a pretty nice boat. Some people are in a littler boat. Some people are in a raft. And there are some people that are hanging onto a stick, trying not to drown. Those are the ones we're supposed to be looking for. Pulling them up out of danger. Amen. We're supposed to intercede for those people. But you don't know that person, how bad they hate you. Yeah, I do know that person. God loves them. You just operate in the name of Jesus and let him take care of the rest. I'll share one little story with you about a lady that used to hate me unconditionally. And she'd come into the hardware store and she'd hate on me in the hardware store in front of everybody. It was terrible. And cuss. And there's a couple of them. Anyway, one day I go into the post office and I see her and she dropped her mail. So I picked up her mail and I said, let me help you get to the car. She wasn't getting around. From that day forward, she loved me. She went from hate to love. I just helped her carry her. And it got so carried away till whenever the ambulance would show up and the sheriff would be there, the sheriff would have me going first because she didn't like him either. So I'd go in there and talk to her. We were good buddies all of a sudden. And I could talk to her and she'd be calm. And they could come in there and they could do whatever they wanted to do and they didn't have a fight. Let God love people through you. You know, God loved people through Jesus. And even when he was on the cross, he said, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. The love of God will change the hardest of hearts.
Amen.
So thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your love. And we thank you that your love shines through us so that other people can see your love and experience your love. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that we let our light shine so that other men can see it. And it's actually your glory on the church. So we may be a peculiar people, but that causes people to look at us and ask questions, why? Why are they like this? Father, give us the answers to give to them so that we can share you with them and they get born again. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.